Hello and welcome to chapter 5 of What Could Have Been. It's your boy Danny.
And it's your boy Macklin.
And it's your third boy, Matt.
Matt, you're a man, not a boy.
I'm a real boy.
So, my topic is the topic of the day. Or at least the first topic of the day.
Wait.
What podcast is this?
It's What Could Have Been.
Oh. Well, what could have been, Danny? Could it have been you first, or could it have been me first, or could it have been Matt first?
Who knows? It was supposed to be me.
Oh, well, it's Danny first. Here we go. First topic.
Brilliant. So, what if humans were cold-blooded? So, rather than being endotherms, what if we were ectotherms? And what they mean is, endotherms are organisms that have an internal temperature. So, they maintain their own body heat, and they have stable metabolic rates based on that body heat, and therefore they need to cool down when they're too hot, so they have sweat glands and fat stores and other such things. Ectotherms are cold-blooded and they do not retain heat, so they need to maintain heat from the external sources. Mainly the sun, other such sources will come up. So I'm suggesting that humans have to do that. What do you think about that, guys?
I would argue that I've met some humans that are already pretty cold-blooded. I'm just going to put it out there.
Where have you met them?
And they seem to be living life absolutely fine, so...
So next topic, right?
What could have been? No, I reckon it would be a very interesting world. But how would we live in cold climates?
We wouldn't be able to for very long, because organisms that do live in cold climates tend to go into hibernation or torpor, which is like an extended sleep sort of. It's where your metabolic rate drops to a much more sustainable percent in terms of burning fat stores. So we'd be much more reliant on, like I said, the sun. So we'd be a lot more active during summer or in hotter climates.
So, Danny, do you think we'd be keeping to the ground a bit more as a species? Or do you think we would still be able to be like bipedal as we are now?
Well, I don't think we actually would have reached this certain point, because ectotherms, cold-blooded creatures, tend to have a less complex organ system because it can't maintain itself at inconsistent heat levels. Like, it just can't have that complex structure because it can't have that constant supply of energy to itself. So organisms are known to have smaller brains that are cold-blooded. Right. So I imagine if we were the same structure as we are, we'd have smaller brains and therefore less cognitive ability.
Right. So I should have researched this before asking, but what were the dinosaurs? Were they all cold-blooded or...?
Oh, well, they were reptiles, weren't they? Reptilian.
Oh, this is scaly. Controversial.
Are they poultry? Are they just big
chickens? They're not scaly, or there's quite a lot of evidence that has come up, because I read a book called The Dinosaurs Rediscovered. And
classic Danny book.
Yeah, perfect. It's argued within it that we don't actually know if they were warm-blooded or cold-blooded, because it talks about the body size.
Okay.
And it makes sense for them to be a bit of both, but there's also evidence for, again, both. The thing is, feathers are a common trait of endotherms, so warm-blooded, and there is now fossil evidence due to new techniques that have come up to see pigments of feathers around the fossils, and
so pigments are revealing of whether or not something is cold-blooded or warm-blooded. Is that what you're saying?
Just saying that they had feathers in general,
right?
Would indicate that they were warm-blooded.
Wow,
because feathers are like they provide a layer of insulation, so it's a way of maintaining sort of body heat or sort of regulating body heat.
I was gonna say, like, looking at cold-blooded animals now. Like, if you like to think about snakes, well, reptiles, crocodiles, there's not really much fat, is there? I suppose crocodiles are a bit fat, or like...
The thing is, the metabolic rates are much lower, so they don't need to eat anywhere near as frequently, because they don't need to constantly produce...
Homeostasis.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't...
So what do you think we'd look like? I always like, when we bring in humans into our topic, I always like to get a little picture in my head of what weird homo creature would be creating. I reckon we'd be quite skinny.
Yeah,
we'd be quite skinny and wiry.
I think we'd be a lot more bony, like we'd be a lot more sticky out, like we'd be a lot more angular at our joint.
Ooh, yeah, ooh.
a lot of organisms, when they live in such cold temperatures, if they can't regulate heat, they have antifreeze proteins, which basically does what it says on the tin. It stops them from freezing. It stops their internal organs from freezing up. So if we did want to conquer further afield than warm tropical climates or survivable habitats for where ectotherms are found, then we probably would have to develop some of those, I reckon.
Do you reckon, so if we suddenly change to being cold-blooded with what we've developed now, would you think we could fight off the cold and be able to live in any climate with our technology, with things like coats and kind of get past? Because obviously we already need them now and we're warm-blooded. Or do you think it would be completely unobtainable to live like above the Arctic Circle if we were cold-blooded?
Above the Arctic Circle, I imagine it's probably much more of a challenge.
Yeah, do you reckon we could get past that with...
Can we move past the equator? Is that what you're asking, Matt? Kind of thing.
He's asking, can we move to one of the furthest points? Like, how far could we extend from the equator?
Right. Okay, over the Tropic of Cancer.
Of Cancer?
Or Capricorn, whichever hemisphere you want to go on.
What?
The Tropic of Cancer and Tropic of Capricorn.
I do not know what they are, mate. I'm not going to lie.
Where's himself a fucking zoologist.
Where's the Tropic of Cancer or Capricorn?
It's the lines above and below the equator, like the ones that are kind of a quarter of the way up.
Right. Can you say how far from the equator Cancer is?
A traditional subject in zoology.
I mean, we're going a bit further.
60 degrees.
Oh, brilliant. Shit.
I have no clue.
that A-level geography not paying in.
The main question is...
Now, I can talk to you about India.
So the main question is how far away from the equator can we move to with cold-blooded genes?
Well, are you negating the fact that we'd be less intelligent? So are you saying if we all of a sudden went cold-blooded, like we needed to regulate our own heat, we'd need some way of maintaining the heat through and through, so we need it to be a constant temperature all the time in that case? Because our metabolic rate would depend upon it as well. So the energy we'd consume would be required a lot less, but if we then made ourselves hot all the time, we'd require a little bit more.
Would that be a potential business idea, having slabs of real estate that are just baking in the sun so we can just go lie in them? Like, rather than going to the beach, just lie in big slabs of stone.
We have the hottest rocks in town. Volcanoes would be a hot spot, wouldn't they? Quite literally.
Oh, mate. Oh, yeah, there you go, Iceland. Iceland would probably be the furthest north place you could live.
Yeah, habitat.
You'd have a great time.
You get little pockets of people, wouldn't you, on the volcanic areas?
Yes, yeah, it's got really warm things.
You wouldn't be able to venture very far unless you developed some sort of system that was heated.
Going back to what you said earlier, Macklin.
Yeah.
Thinking about if it'd be bipedal or on all fours.
Yeah.
I'm just now got a picture of just the weirdest, just humans on all fours crawling around the volcanoes of Iceland.
I think we would though, because we'd want the
we need the ground
surface area
to keep us warm, right? At that point,
exactly. Yeah. We need the biggest surface area touching the ground so we could conduct heat from it.
Yeah, because like the main thing I think of, like, okay, you might think of a snake for a cold-blooded kind of animal, but I always think of an iguana. So if we're like this massive Homo sapien that we are now, can we really be bipedal if we're cold-blooded? Probably not. We'd be more like an iguana thing. Maybe we would still have the tail. What do you think of that, Danny? Do you think we would still have the tail?
Why would we still have the tail?
I don't know. This is a different timeline, different reality altogether.
There's various types of tail, and it depends what we'd be using the tail for.
Yeah.
Well, it would help us get to like the tops of trees and therefore get to the most sun. So maybe in this timeline,
yeah,
we have kept our prehensile tail just so we can swing about.
So we can bask higher.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
I think we'd try and inhabit more open spaces.
Mm. Well, it's possible. I mean...
No, not in caves. Why in caves?
Yeah. I think we could maybe be... We would definitely be like a big animal in that. In terms of a contest, I think like these humans that are cold-blooded might have a fair contest against maybe other animals at the time, but I don't know. It'd be interesting to see.
Our physiology will be a bit more complex.
Yes.
Because different proteins get activated in different temperatures.
Right.
So when we're too hot, we'd have to activate different proteins to maintain our body temperature.
There's a family of proteins called heat shock proteins. And they're called that because they basically were found when a cell undergoes a lot of heat. They come out as like a stress indicator. So would our body end up just be really damaged, like with all these proteins getting made, because we'd not be able to effectively regulate our heat. We'd be going from cold to hot to cold to hot. So our bodies would have to put in these defense systems to protect against these kind of two extremes, because obviously we now can maintain the 37 degrees.
Yeah, 37.
Yeah.
So you're asking if our physiology can like go against, well, it would have worked against that.
Frostbite is like that just completely destroys all your cells.
Yeah. This is why I said the AFPs, the antifreeze proteins, would be something I think we would have to develop if we, because we can't regulate heat, or we can't form heat to not give ourselves frostbite or decrease the chances. We need a defense mechanism, which I believe would be antifreeze proteins.
So how well developed are our antifreeze proteins right now, Danny?
We don't have any. We have no need.
We have no need for them. And the heat shock proteins are what we have right now.
Yeah, they're just an indication of stress, like when your cell is damaged.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it could be as simple as like one or the other. So we'd have, you know, what Danny's saying.
I think it is.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
I'm not sure, though, but think
I think, again, there's a common theme with all of these that I keep picking up on. I think the world would be very, again, a lot greener, because we would not be consuming as much food. Like you say, snakes can have, what, one meal every 3 months or something ridiculous.
Like, there's something extended like that. They can have it for one meal every few months.
Imagine that. One meal every 3 months.
A crocodile can go many months as well.
Mm. Yeah, so yeah, I think our food consumption would be so much lower. Again, a more harmonious, green, beautiful world.
There's agricultural. Yeah, but we'd spend most of our time trying to get hot. Like, everyone would wake up in the morning and just lie on the ground for a bit, being like, come on, because muscles, everything needs energy to operate. So part of the benefits of being an endotherm, so warm-blooded, is the fact you can have that energy available straight away.
Yeah.
Rather than having to build up and get your body more active.
Mornings would be terrible. I imagine how shit you feel now. Trying to wake up at 9 in the morning. But you've also got to heat yourself up under a lamp for an hour.
But then again, if the sun's rising at like 6 o'clock in certain places, you'll be awake, or you'll wake up nice and toasty if you lay on your nice open area that gets the sun. Oh my God, property that gets the sun first in the morning would be hot property. Pardon the pun.
There'd be squabbles over them.
There'd be such a market for like heat magnification windows, so it amplifies the heat that's coming in, or like directs it to a certain spot, so you could just lie in there and get maximum efficiency.
Imagine the health and safety risk with that.
You'd have a lot of insurance claims against that if insurance even did make it to this society.
Oh God,
I don't think we'd have an economy though. I don't think that.
I'm trying to picture these humanoid-esque things in suits walking around trying to make insurance claims at each other.
Just like meeping at each other.
They're doing it in like a radiator.
Yeah, I'm imagining quite pathetic human beings right now. I don't know about you guys. Quite like feeble. There's one small push and they're just useless.
Yeah,
I can see that.
I don't know.
I haven't actually thought of their physiological attributes yet. Like, it's been very hard to picture it. I guess the closest thing I can think of is like a chameleon at this point. But like, I don't know how just that is, because, you know, we've evolved from monkeys, but would we have been monkeys at some point and then we would just come back down off the trees and be like, nah, fuck that, I'm good. I'm gonna be this ground dwelling creature.
Dwelling stick insect.
Yeah.
How do you think we would have gone from that point? How do you think we would have been going into the Homo genus and then all of a sudden become cold-blooded?
Yeah.
Like this cold-blooded species.
Aliens, man.
Arguably a subgenus, that would be a completely different thing.
I think it was a hard breakup, honestly. You know, it just became cold-blooded.
Messy, lots of showering.
Some dude slept with a lizard and all of a sudden it actually became, the egg became fertile and this little weird creature came out.
That was a winning breed. That's what happened.
And then somebody had sex with that, which made more of them. Oh God, Danny's talking about sex again.
Anyway. All over that 16 minutes in. He's only talking about sex. It's been a while. Who do you reckon would win in a fight? Homo liquidus or Homo reptilius?
So Homo liquidus is one without a spine, for anyone who's not seen previous episodes.
Was it a spine, or was it the one that could live in the water? Yeah.
No, liquidus was the one that didn't have a spine.
Yeah, that was it. It had no bones.
Fluid in appearance.
Basically became, what's his name from Rick and Morty? When he becomes the worm.
Oh yeah, Jerry in that episode with Beth, and they went in marriage counselling. For all those, I can't think of what we called it in the episode, but it was largely
just pathetic Jerry worm.
Pathetic thing. Jerry worm thing.
Just a gigantic slug made out of human flesh.
That looks like Jerry from Epic.
That's
like,
basically what human liquorice looks like.
That is it.
To be fair, like,
I can't imagine what this cold-blooded humanoid would look like, but I can imagine exactly what I was thinking before that episode without bones, and Jerry, that liquid worm Jerry, was exactly what came to mind. I'm sorry, I can't think of it for this.
I just envisioned humans, but with, yeah, like, darker green-browny skin, pretty much like lizard-based skin, and just skinny, like skin-tight, so it was all just attached to the bones underneath.
Right.
Like Cassandra from Doctor Who.
I was thinking of her. I was thinking of her right there.
A flat pack skeleton is what it would be like.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, no, I think there's actually a disease that causes people to have really, really long bones, and there's an actor who played Slenderman in the movie.
That he's basically most like 6 foot one. 8. Yeah.
And he's got really long bones and like really like small muscles, and he's just like this weird wiry man.
Wow.
Quite slender.
Yeah, literally very slender. Name job.
Was he very slender, man?
Amazon, please sponsor us if you made the movie. I don't know who please made don't. The Slenderman movie, but yeah.
Please, someone give us money for this. I haven't eaten in months.
That's a personal
I
choice.
Need some food.
Some good intermittent fasting going on there.
No, yeah. I don't know if we. Do you think buildings would be a thing in this world?
That's what I've been trying to think of the structure of buildings.
Because obviously we'd want. Would want to have as much sunlight as possible on us.
Yeah, but equally, that's why it'd have to be sort of flat, because if you had them like skyscrapers, like the modern architecture we have today, it'd be near impossible unless we somehow plastered ourselves along the side of walls. Unless they were really thin buildings, so it was just, you could go up, but yeah, the heat got through, and it was that they were really close together. So it was...
In the modern world, we've got enough stuff like heating and that to keep us...
We'd burn so much energy. We'd rinse so much fuel trying to keep it warm 24/7.
God, do you reckon we would have gone nuclear by now?
Maybe, very necessary.
I think so. We'd have to.
The craving for fossil fuels. It would have been like the UK back in like the 1880s when there was just smog everywhere.
Yeah, it'd almost be like cannibalistic burning of fuel, though, wouldn't it?
How would it be cannibalistic?
Well, I mean, if we're cold-blooded, it's half... I guess we're kind of doing that now. So from what you said about the dinosaurs, because I asked you if they were, like, cold-blooded, but, you know, automatically in my brain, I kind of think they are cold-blooded because they're so reptile-like.
But that's because they've been depicted as reptile-like. That's
right.
Not necessarily true.
So it could even be, like, cannibalistic now that we're using fossil fuels so heavily. Because, I mean, ish, you know what I mean?
Are you suggesting that we are made out of coal?
We are made out of coal.
He's talking about the fact that coal is compressed carbon from the dead bodies of many a dinosaur and other, well, many plants, many other organisms from the past.
Sorry, are you like...
What makes us more relatable to the coal if we're cold-blooded than if we are warm-blooded? Like, what
sorry,
what
I didn't realise I was raising such a cold-blooded, hot-blooded issue. I'm just going to shut up now. Just forget
very
I...
Very divisive.
Very divisive.
Do you think, Kay, that was another question I was going to raise.
Thank you.
If there was a mixture of cold-blooded population of humans and... warm-blooded, cold-blooded and warm-blooded, what would the interaction with them be? Who would you reckon would be the more...
It'd be a bit hot and cold, I think, to be honest, mate.
Hey!
Ooh.
But
a single one clap for that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't know. So again, what if they had a kid? It'd be a heterotherm, so it'd switch between being warm-blooded and cold-blooded. Well, not it doesn't necessarily switch between, it just
it'd
shares...
It'd have a big crisis of identity,
mechanisms. What if you didn't want to identify as either cold or hot-blooded?
Is a great question.
That's deep, bro.
So you could pick in between?
It's not necessarily pick, but you share mechanisms through each of them. So I can't remember many examples, but I know there's certain bats that when they're not expending a lot of energy, they reduce their body temperature. So I believe they drop the basal metabolic rate, so the amount of energy they burn at rest is decreased. So that is a trait, or the ability to do that is a, first of all, it's an underlying factor for torpor, what I mentioned earlier, a decreased metabolic resting state, so they expend less energy if you do it for elongated periods of time. That is hibernation. But back to what I was saying, if that trait is acquired by a technically warm-blooded animal, then they are heterotherm because, yeah, they are able to show ectothermic trait, but just because it provides a benefit.
So is a bear a heterotherm because they can hibernate?
I believe so. I don't want to say yeah, but I believe so because they hibernate, don't they?
Yeah, they hibernate over winter, then appear, pop out like springtime.
Yeah, so it is when they decrease. They do basically stop regulating heat to the extent that they need to, so they just decrease the functionability to just survivable on the most the minimum amount of energy they can. So they
I don't know. I think maybe warm-blooded. This is coming from a very warm-blooded centric point of view, may I say. But I do think that warm-blooded people probably would be better, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey, I'm from the CBUD. In the cold-blooded universal district, and I'm pissed off at what you just said there. You shouldn't be saying that kind of shit. Jesus.
I think endotherms and ectotherms should just live in harmony. There should be no therms at all.
I don't see therms.
I just see people, okay? There's no therms in my eyes.
Thermostat, germostat. That's what I say. Anyway,
what are you saying, Matt?
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out what were you saying. So about the politics of warm and cold.
What are you talking
people.
To me?
What are you talking to me?
Honestly, no. Let's put a nice thing about this, or a nice little spin on this. The second law of thermodynamics is heat always moves from warm to cold. So if we were going through a bit of a crisis, or in the winter times, I feel like warm-blooded people and cold-blooded people would pair up, and there'd be a lot of hugging going on, so you could share people's temperature.
Yeah, that would
Danny.
Be...
Danny's wanting to talk about sex again for all the viewers.
That was a big segue. No, but I do kind of get what you're saying, Danny. I reckon.
No, I get it.
Could that be a job title, a professional human heater?
Endotherm wanted.
Yeah. Endotherm wanted.
I need a professional hugger.
Endotherm or ectotherm? You got to stay it on your dating app.
On your dating app. Tinder. Oh, well, Tinder would definitely be... Oh, can I say right? I've just stopped myself doing a terrible pun. I'm going to back out of that one.
I mean, you've kind of backed out now, but I kind of want to hear it. Like,
yeah,
Tinder would be the warm-blooded, obviously, because it's Tinder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was like, I hadn't thought of the second part.
Okay.
So you didn't have anything. You stopped yourself from attempting to make a pun. It was like the initial thought that most people had. Brilliant. Thanks, Matt.
Like I say, my brain is working at about 50% today. It's been a heavy Brilliant. Few days.
Have you been expending a lot of energy, Matthew?
No, I've been not productive.
For all those at home that are unsure at what Matt does normally, he's a professional hugger like the rest of us.
Yeah, I've been hugging left, right and centre.
Yeah, he has been.
But only from 2 metres away.
You got Employee of the Month, didn't you?
Employee of the Month? Yeah, I work for the government.
Hardcore hugging, mate.
Yeah, hardcore hugging. But we've kind of delved down and dissected this quite well. We've talked about the politics of it. We've talked about what this weird homo reptilus would look like.
Homo reptilius. Are you saying it's time to move on then?
I reckon it's time for a universe shattering suggestion from Macklin.
Oh, wow. This is news to me, but yeah, I guess it is universe shattering in a way. My question to all the people of what could have been is, what could have been if there was no moon? What do you guys think of that? No moon orbiting us every night.
We like to keep it pretty low key at what could have been. No major earth-shattering stuff.
I just kind of want to put like a dark, like Death Star explosion after Matt just said that. Like,
right, well, that is a completely different question.
The moon never even happened, so I guess there would be no explosion. But to be fair, I'll get into this. It's like, I have a few different scenarios because many, many scientists have thought about this. Far cleverer than I, because I am not even a scientist. But
don't put yourself down, Macklin.
Oh, I'm putting myself way down there. I'm just some guy.
On the floor.
Mate, even lower than the floor.
He's barely a tisk, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, what? Anyway.
Let alone the sigh.
But, like, I have a few different scenarios. Like, what could have been if the moon never actually hit us? For those of you who don't know, the moon was a Mars-sized terrestrial object that whacked into our early, early Earth-sized, you know, planet back in the day. And that was when the Earth was 30 million years old. But that's one scenario. The other scenario is, what could have been if the moon actually left us? You know, that'll be quite a short section.
What, peaced out?
Yeah, if it just drifted away. And then the last one is, what if we actually blew up the moon? But the first one, I think, is the... You know,
so Macklin's brought three questions.
I've brought three questions, table. But I think the first one is the most interesting. So we'll talk about that first.
What if we had no moon at all? Yeah. The moon's quite crucial, to be honest, mate. It does quite a lot of things for us.
Yeah, well, if you not remember just last episode with the tides, pretty key.
Yeah, the tides do a lot as well. So from what I've found, the tides would be a lot smaller, up to a third the size of the ranges at the moment.
That is correct, Danny. One gold star to you.
Thanks, Macklin. That the tides actually, like, they do a lot, so there'll be a lot of less material distribution in coastal habitats, and it's a tropic cascade after that. So all the habitats that relate to them and all the organisms that gain stuff from those habitats would degrade from then upwards, and it's a bit disastrous, a little bit, to be honest.
Okay, well. Matt, do you want to share with us whatever you might have found out about this, or have you, like...
No, I'm just trying to think about how would we function at night? That's what I want to know.
That is a really interesting point, but...
Would we have developed better night vision? Like how cats have that reflective bit at the back of their eye that increases how well they can see at night. Would we have evolved something along those lines? Because obviously the moon's pretty crucial.
I'm not going to lie to you. None of my research came across that question. That's a very interesting question.
No, I never really delved deep into how we'd see things. But I just delved deep into how ecosystems would interact.
I just know that the moon in the sky is 200 times brighter than Venus. So you have to take that into kind of proportion, and that would be...
What do you mean? I wasn't really thinking about what the light with Venus was going to give me, to be honest. Well, why is that fact relevant?
Do you not ponder these things before bed, Danny?
I mean, no, I'm not going to lie. That's not what I think about.
So the reason why I mentioned...
If the moon wasn't here, I'm not thinking, oh, mate, I hope Venus is out tonight so I can see pretty well.
But Venus, I mentioned Venus because Venus is what came up in my research, first and foremost. And also Venus is right next to the sun, so it is quite a bright kind of planet that's going. Like, it's hip and happening right now. It's trending. Right, it's blowing up.
It's right next to the sun.
It's closer to the sun, isn't it? Am I right?
Well, next to Mercury.
Sorry, Mercury. I don't know why Venus came up. My bad.
In your research, apparently, mate.
My bad. Just let me do the research here, Danny. All right, you're stepping into my turf, lad. Jesus.
So, like, you concentrated more on the idea that. The tides.
So what I looked into the tides a bit, but then got me onto how corals emit their eggs and sperm time by the moon cycle. So when it's a full moon, they give it off, and that's because CRY2 paired with CRY1 protein, it makes them sensitive to moonlight, which I think it activates their sexual reproduction, and they emit eggs and their sperm around that time, so corals classic. Wouldn't have much to do there. Brilliant, went down the sex route, ha 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 ha. So
you sly motherfucker. All right,
this joke's just terrible.
Yeah, you hit that, mate. He wrapped that in some little enigma. He
got some sexy cows, baby.
Ooh, eggs.
All right,
so also rodents dramatically reduce their nighttime activity.
Gross.
When the moon is brighter, because they can get seen easier by predators like owls and bats and such. So if we didn't have a moon, we'd have quite a lot of rodents running around. I found a study that showed that lions had a decreased predation success rate when it was brighter because their prey can see them and they're a bit more skittish.
But then, like, if you're talking about owls, they rely on the moon, though, completely. So they might
That's
be
what I said. Yeah,
different.
No, they'd be fucked. One of the biggest mechanisms is sound and the nighttime vision. So it's, I think if there was no moon, owls might actually be better. Their entire face is like one big ear. Well, one big ear canal.
Their face is one big fucking ear.
No, it is. It actually is. Like they've got their ears on. They're not on the same level. They're up and down. So they when they hear the same sound, but it's at different levels. They have like a 3D landscape, or they can determine different levels in the landscape via the soundscape. It's pretty cool. So actually thinking about it, owls might be more successful.
Can I just throw this into the like the ring right now? So at the moment we are at 24.5 degrees on our axis, and that's really pivotal in terms of how our seasons change. That's how we have spring, summer, autumn, and you know, winter. But
and that's because of the moon, baby.
Boom. The moon keeps us kind of in a position that, you know, keeps us where we are. But I also didn't say that the moon formed because of a massive... Well, it's a hypothesis that scientists have, and that's called the Big Splash. And that is a big object, which is the Mars-shaped object, called Theia, hitting what was 30-million-year-old Earth, which is baby Gaia at this point, smashing straight in, and then the debris became the moon. And that became the Earth. But anyway...
Where did the rest of the debris go?
Sorry?
Where did the rest of it go if it was Mars-sized?
Well, that's a good question. I guess it must have just, you know, gone into the greater galaxy / universe.
Just thinking if there was any on little baby Gaia, if there was any left, because then we could have had moon rock from the moon on Earth all along.
Yeah. I wonder if the moon had a little moon.
I like that idea as well.
A mini moon. A micro moon.
Well, we could even have a mini Earth somewhere. A mini Earth just like around the solar system.
A long lost sun.
Yeah.
Gone. We'll just have... through space.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying with the point about the tilt. Because the Earth does sort of wobble on its axis.
The moon basically keeps it in check, doesn't it? It keeps the Earth on that 24-something degree axis. So if we didn't have the moon, we could either... straighten up and seasons don't happen at all, so it'd just be one constant temperature,
which would be crazy.
It'd be absolutely crazy. But it'd be pretty cool.
It would be cool
because it would be a lot more sustainable. I imagine that obviously there wouldn't be any seasonal depression or there also wouldn't be some summer vibes, but like if that happened, everything would be complete chaos, or not, probably, maybe not chaos.
It's not as chaotic as the other scenario, I believe, but To be fair, I have a third step after this, but we'll talk about what happens without what you're just describing as kind of just straight, stable. Yeah, exactly.
I think the opposite.
Seasonal stability.
Yes.
I think we'd be scattering out, wobbling all over.
You're correct. Exactly. So as Matt was just projecting, 90 degree, 180 degree, 270 degree, all at once within three strokes of his arm. That is what would happen. Efficiency of the planet. Like, we would be moving so crazily through the solar system and how we see the sun. That if you know the film Day After Tomorrow.
Day After Tomorrow with Tom Cruise.
Happy to help.
That film would happen many times faster than what we're just talking about.
Imagine like, people now getting a bit depressed when winter comes around. Yeah. Or like, the seasons that we know now, they're annually. But then it'd be so rapid, so it'd be a couple of months, you'd be like, oh, winter's here again. Oh, no, summer's here again. Oh, no, winter's here again. And they'd be so extreme. You'd have, like, constant sun all the time to Baltic winter. You'd be going from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere to all over the gaff.
Yeah.
Yeah, what would happen to us? Would we just fling off the Earth? Do you reckon we'd have an atmosphere?
Ooh.
Why wouldn't we?
Well, if we're flinging around the whole time, would the electromagnetic systems that come from the North and the South Pole, would they be able to be stable enough to create
Good question. The atmosphere? Good question. I imagine not.
No.
That it just wouldn't work because they'd never be facing the sun's rays to be able to reflect them properly, so we probably would have been destroyed.
But I will say this, the third way is that Jupiter, being such a big boy that it is, will actually sort out our angle to the sun and will eventually, according to...
research.
Well, they did their research, but they... Oh, simulation. Sorry. It's taking me a while. They did a simulation of the planet without Theia hitting Gaia when the Earth was 30 million years old. So they kind of figured out what would actually have happened if the moon never actually collided with the Earth, being a Mars-sized terrestrial object. And they found that throughout their simulated cycles, that Jupiter would somehow align the Earth with the sun in a way that would be conducive to us.
So okay, from what I'm getting from what you're saying, mm-hmm. if we eliminate all the gravitational fields apart from the Sun and Jupiter, mm-hmm. there'd be a point of stability where the Earth settled in the most efficient or optimal way,
yeah.
so that the weight was distributed, so the gravitational pull from both of them
yeah.
stabilized it.
So okay. the way that everything works now is that the Sun and the Moon are pulling our tides. Imagine it like north-south. It's as clear as that. Like our tide is pulled from the equator.
Wherever the Sun and the Moon are yeah, relative opposite, to the relatively. Planet, there's a little bump yeah. where the tide rises. Yeah. Or
but fall. Jupiter would eventually fill the gap of the Moon, according to a simulation conducted by some scientists somewhere or other. I can try and find that in the footnotes if we get that far. But it,
yeah, we're not going to make them.
We're not going to make them. If you guys are interested in that, though, there is plenty online about it. It's really, really
You can email us as well.
Yeah,
if you want to find
yeah, out. Yeah, 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 for sure. But I just found that fascinating. Like, that was so cool.
Where does Venus lie in all this?
Would You're forgetting about Venus.
Forgetting
wait, no,
about Venus. Mercury
no,
and
Neptune.
Venus.
But wait, Venus is closest to the Sun. It's like right next to it.
Matt, can I just say Uranus is looking fantabulous?
Thank you, Massa.
Oh, God. Celestial orientation. So I think organisms that rely on the Moon, prime example that most people will probably be familiar with, if not you're about to be, sea turtles. Sea turtle hatchlings, when they do hatch, they rely on the reflection from the Moon on the ocean to find the ocean. Without that mechanism in place, because we ain't got a moon, baby, sea turtles would have to find a way to get to the sea.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they'd be struggling, because that is a they massive are, problem, isn't it? That's a massive problem. They get just attracted to the streetlights, don't they? And then end up getting run over, dying.
Do you think we'd have streetlights at the moment? Do you not reckon we'd have a lot of orientation from the stars? So rather than relying on our trusty Google Maps or whatever map-based app you use, do you reckon the stars would be the best option? I imagine they'd be a lot clearer if we didn't pollute.
When you go out to like the countryside and look at the stars, or in a very remote area, the night sky is actually so bright. It actually is so bright. So I think, yeah, if we never got around to making streetlights, we would probably use the stars as... Well, we already use them as navigational tools, don't we? Like, the Navy, they use stars as points of references.
Well, yeah, so...
The North Star, very famous.
We would have difficulty, though. I think everything would be a bit darker. If we were to go into that universe right now, that different reality, it would be very, very noticeable.
The thing is, though, we'd be a lot more accustomed to the consistency of the brightness from the stars.
Mm.
Unless exposed to human light pollution, they'd be consistent all the time, especially if we had the axis of the planet aligned. The stars would change because we'd be rotating around the Sun, but they would be visible most of the time from the same orientation and the same brightness. So I feel if it was rather consistent to begin with, we may not need to develop further orientation skills that would overcome the issues of varied brightness because of the moon cycle. So perhaps we'd use that quite frequently or more often. I know certain organisms do that.
No, do you not think that we would just be to shut down at night? Do you not think we would just not bother, potentially? Just like, comes like 9 o'clock, pack it in, turn it off.
You just put a torch on.
I've got another question there, another factoid, in fact. In case that we did end up in this reality, how much do you guys think that daylight would be affected by this eradication of the moon or removal of the moon? We have 24 hours at the moment. How many hours per day do you think we'd have of sunlight in this existing reality?
If we stabilized to be completely vertical, wouldn't it be 12 and 12?
Wait, hold on. So the reason there is 24 hours in a day is because of how the moon currently spins. What are you suggesting? If we had no moon, does the rate at which we spin, so the speed at which we rotate on our axis, differ?
It all differs in terms of how gravitationally pulled we are to the moon and the sun, as well as just the axis. The magical degree of 24.5, let's just say, it is that all the time.
Okay.
So we have 24 hours, and we've had that for quite a few... I think we've had that for a few billion years now, maybe a billion and a bit. But judging by earlier scans of the Earth, well, understandings of the Earth and how it like interacted with the sun, it's found that 6 to 12, maybe 11 hours, that was the normal amount of time that we had facing the sun. That was our day. 11 hours at most. To 6.
Ethan?
Yeah.
6.
Okay, so my question
so
is...
we'd have 1,000 days a year.
That's all right. That'd be pretty sick.
That's pretty crazy.
So my question is, we have 11 hours facing the sun, so does that mean we have 11 hours not facing the sun? So we have 22 hours a day?
I guess so, yeah. That's from what I can find and can glean from the research.
So another question, if we are removing the factor of the moon hitting the Earth, that may have sped up the speed or decreased the speed in which we rotate. If we just neglect that and say currently our current speed, if the sun disappears, in my opinion, if you're removing the factor of gravity, if you're removing a force, surely the total energy within the equation decreases, unless that is found in a different variable within that equation, it'll be a slower total. So it would rotate rather than being exposed to the sun 11 hours a day, we might be exposed to the sun 14 hours a day, but also not exposed for 14 hours a day, so it'd be a 28 hour day, or at least an increased amount of hours in a day relative to the current and your example earlier. Also, why do we have 1,000 days a year? Where did that come into play?
Some Macklin maths.
It was statistics that I got.
I'm not sure I believe them.
You don't believe them? 6 hours a day. 6 to 11 hours a day. So I think that's...
Right, if it was 11 hours a day, 11 hours a complete day, so it's 5.5 hours a piece, so exposed and not exposed, that's less than half of the current time frame we have. So then, yeah, maybe so. But if it was 11...
Yeah, if it's 11 exposed, I would definitely question it.
No, but if it was 11 hours exposed and then 11 hours non-exposed, so a total 22. Of 22 hours a day,
yeah.
Then it wouldn't be. It would be, in my opinion, in the 500, 600... range, but I don't think it'd be near 1,000.
I think the main problem with this is that it's just so unpredictable of where we would actually be. Like, it is a really big question because, you know, the moon is so important for our existence and how we kind of understand our planet to behave. So
what we found out, the seasons are going to be a bit fucked and we're going to have a lot more rodents and the tides are going to be shit.
But we've also understood that life doesn't necessarily need a moon either.
I think sand fleas, newts, sea turtles, and quite a lot of moths would disagree with you there, mate.
Yeah, think about the moths, mate.
I'm sorry to the moths. You know, you can eat my clothes as much as you want. I'm sorry to you guys. I'm kind of glad you're gone,
moths, lives matter. Come on. MLM.
I'm just saying, though, that what scientists have found, without a moon, life can be sustained on our planet, is the main thing.
Oh, yeah, it'd be different.
Without a moon. Like, that is very possible. I don't think owls have much of a chance from what we've discussed.
No, I think
earlier.
Owls do, if anything.
You think that they think could, are, though?
I think they do rely on sound quite a lot.
Mm.
Well, given that many rodents dramatically reduce their nighttime activity, a sentence I said earlier, so when the moon's not there, there's going to be loads about, so I think there'll be a lot more owls. There'll be a lot more frequent spotting.
Yeah, but like, open season, owls will just be sweeping left, right, and centre.
Yeah, mate, fuck chicken run. It'll be owls flight or something. There'll be loads of stuff about owls.
Claymation owl run.
Aardman Studios, yes. Make it happen. Yes. I know you're listening.
Can I get an owl burger, please? I actually don't want an owl burger. That doesn't sound good.
Doesn't sound great, but maybe it would be tasty.
They don't have much meat on them.
Unless you genetically modify the motherfuckers.
My parting question is, what would happen if we removed the moon right about now?
We already had that, but we'll go with it.
Well, we haven't. Tell me, what would happen right now if the moon was taken out of the equation? It was completely gone from our atmosphere.
It'd get darker. Currently, where I live in the world, it'd get darker.
Right, okay. So can you guesstimate how much wind speed would increase?
A bit.
Come on.
I don't know. Well, given that you've told me it's going to increase, I personally don't know.
Or decrease.
No, I don't know enough about meteorology or like climate science as a whole to understand why the wind would increase or decrease.
All right. So, as it stands, if the moon was blown up by a nuclear disaster or explosion...
You keep changing the bloody question, mate.
Hey. 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 Did you set the question? I don't think so.
The question is, what would happen if we didn't have the moon? And I think it's interesting to ask, like, what would happen if it was gone right now? Come on, guys. Anyone listening, you have to understand, if it was taken out of how we live right now, it would be catastrophic. So, yes, the wind speed would increase.
We'd not be able to function. The wind speed.
Remember how good it was?
Remember the wind speed.
To be fair, though, what you're just saying is it would be pretty sick. It would be terrifying and you'd die, but it would be great.
No, I don't think you'd die. Honestly, all I'm envisioning right now is a kid flying a kite. All of a sudden, the moon disappears and this kid's taking off because the wind speed's increased.
Bye. Would we be able to surf if the moon wasn't here?
480 kilometers
surfing
an hour.
Would be a bit more dead. You know the places that have like mega waves? You'd have to go there. I think surfing as a whole would be more specific because the waves would vary a lot less.
I just said that 480 kilometers an hour is the highest wind speed that will be. Everyone would be dead.
Oh, sorry, what? Ripped apart. Well,
if we survive, we'd be so much denser because we'd have to be able to withstand that.
It's not worth going into, I think. Yeah, we'll go into Matt's one now.
Well, we've already created a very dark, a very cold world and universe so far. And I thought I'd add on top of that by saying, what would the world be if light, i.e. light bulbs and sources of light, rather than having the main waste energy being heat, it was sound, i.e., what would happen to the world if light screamed at us? They just screamed and screamed. Right now, I'd be sitting under a light bulb just whining at me.
Your computer would be screaming at you as well.
Everything would be.
Your phone wouldn't need a speaker, well, unless you want to play music. But when you got a notification, all that I'd have to do is the screen come on, so it'd go beep. We're like, ah!
Yeah, would we try and digress as far as possible from this? I've been doing my research. Using the heat that is released by bulbs as a benchmark and a standard, looking at incandescent lights, which are the most common, kind of the ones with the filament, they release 2,500 degrees in the actual filament.
What?
And then the bulb itself is 200 to 260 degrees, like the glass
2,500
itself.
2,500 degrees in the filament?
Yeah, I mean, the filament is literally on fire. So imagine if that was converted into sound.
Honestly, mate, I didn't know that. That is remarkable.
Have you never touched one when you've gone to like,
no, I knew they were hot, mate. I've touched a hot light bulb. Come on. I've burnt myself before. But is it strictly light bulbs? Because if you had lighters, that'd be incredible. The smoking area would be tragic because all you hear is like, ah, oh, ah, 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 ah. Everyone just like sparking cigs. Or, oh my God.
The smoking area would be the most jarring place in the world.
A campfire would be completely different. There'd be no sing songs because it'd just be like, ah, or like, ah.
Yeah.
Do you think that the campfire would actually sing you songs instead? Or would it just be too busy being tormented?
Oh my God, honestly, actually, fireworks would be a completely different...
Choirs.
Yeah, they'd be a completely different form of entertainment.
Cacophony of sound just in
It'd
the sky.
It'd be so much more musical.
Right, before we derail it, right, I was suggesting if we just kept it to electrical lights.
Okay.
Boring.
Because really, I've been thinking about if the sun was screaming. Although,
think of electrical lights. The sun. What are you on about?
Wait. Can I just ask you, Matt, was this from Rick and Morty that you got the screaming sun idea?
No, it's more just the idea of a light bulb screaming at me. I found that really funny.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
Do you reckon we would cancel light?
What?
Because if it was such an inconvenience, how would we do it?
Rather than our sight being our main sense, would we rely a lot more on sight or smell or touch to create our 3D world? In it.
Yeah, because we wouldn't want to have that distraction. Because right now, all of us we wouldn't be able to communicate. We'd completely, utterly destroy any possible idea of sitting in a living room and relaxing. So,
I think the difference would be that we wouldn't have lights at all, like man-made that you were kind of describing.
Yeah, but counter-argument, would it be sort of autonomous? So do you know the way you only realize where if someone says, oh, you can now sense yourself breathing, or you can now feel your left leg on a chair, or like if is it in the subconscious?
Oh, I can feel my left leg on a chair.
There he is.
Ooh.
He's back. There you are, leg.
Oh, hey, baby.
So you're saying, would we just get to a point Yeah, we would just ignore the...
Yeah, well, would it be in our subconscious? Like, would we not even realise it's there until someone says, oh my God, how loud is that light bulb?
Yeah, well, because, I mean, from a evolutionary point of view, if we create a campfire, then anything and everything in earshot would be able to hear that campfire. How would you get around? Although it could be singing the most beautiful lullabies or whatever, depending on...
All right, hold on. Does it still give off heat as well? Or is it strictly sound?
Oh.
It's strictly sound. This is where the fabrics of reality sort of get unwoven, because how would we heat things? This is where we get to that.
Not only can we not heat ourselves up, all it does is produce sound. So even if we created fire, it'd be really destructive and really loud. So rather than it being useful, it'd just be devastating. It wouldn't provide heat at all. It'd just vibrate things to death. It wouldn't even burn things from heat. It would literally vibrate things to death because it's just sounds going absolutely insane.
I think we've just made the worst chapter yet. This is terrible. Like, no.
This is the dark universe.
Everyone's going to be fucking scared to move.
Like, do you think that, say it just happened now, nuclear energy would find its way through? Like, that's how we would power stuff.
Guns would be awful.
Guns? Well, they'd be even louder.
Yeah, because all that heat energy would just go into the bank, so they're louder off anyway. So it'd just be ridiculous.
Could you imagine the Hadron Collider if that was even attainable? That would be awful.
Imagine a nuke, everyone would be deaf. All it'd do is vibrate the planet.
Have you watched the movie Tremors?
Yeah, I've watched all three, mate.
It'd be like that, but just explosions were just shaking the world. How do you reckon the ear defender industry...
They would be the first industry on the planet.
Everyone's neck would be massive because they're going to have some dense ear defenders. Honestly, I feel like we'd have tiny ears. I feel like we would have evolved to not want to fucking listen to any of it.
How much fat would be around the organs as well? If that much vibrations... would be happening.
Humans would be so noisy. There'd be so much stuff going on.
We'd be so fat.
I'd rather be cold-blooded.
I was looking into vibration energy. It's like a concept where you can kind of use vibrations and the movement as a way of creating energy. So, although the fire may not be able to create heat, i.e. combustion, we could still use the sound vibrations to create electricity.
Wow.
Bit of a interesting read, can't lie, a bit confusing.
Rather than having the way we convert energy, the transfer of electricity via transformers and different things like that, it would be a completely different structure. So there'd be some bloke playing the drums and that would be converted into electricity because of the sound waves rather than the way we produce electricity today on a very basic scale.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, this is what I'm saying, like, it would open so many different avenues of how we'd create electricity. So rather than because obviously we don't want any more noise, a band, rather than being a source of entertainment that was actually a bread and butter part of society, they were the powerhouses. Nirvana, they'd be...
Ooh. So
D&B would be ruthless. Heavy metal, mate.
You just made a reality without music that's enjoyable. It's just functional. That's ridiculous.
I did have a thought, and I'm going to have to say it because it's pretty out there.
Okay.
Would we be able to stand... in the flame of a flamethrower, because there's no heat there, we're just getting blasted by sound waves.
That'd be cool.
Flamethrower, how hot would that be? About 1,000
degrees?
Pretty
hot. Maybe not hotter than a filament, apparently.
Okay, maybe it'd be hotter.
I'm just imagining that Eminem song. You're on fire.
Completely different concept. Burn, baby, burn, mate. Completely different.
Burn. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, but the flamethrower.
Not a flamethrower, Elon Musk.
That would just rupture you. I don't think you could stand in front of it because that would just pop you like a grape. The sheer intense volume that would be. Imagine standing in front of...
a microwave.
A flamethrower.
More like at a festival. Do you know a festival when you stand in front of all the speakers?
No, nope, never done that in my life.
What?
Imagine that, but times a million.
Oh, mate, I'm a rig monkey.
Yeah.
A rig monkey.
Is she hanging off like... And that's just my jaw, mate.
Well, because you're singing so much, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is actually a really dark universe. I'm so sorry. This is actually...
Yeah.
This is a bleak existence.
That is like the most sincerest sorry I've heard in a while. I'm so sorry.
Sorry. We've ruined music.
This is a really dark reality we made, but I really
it's just really cold.
Do you want to hear something that might be a bit harrowing? Do you know the Pixar introduction? So like when it says Pixar and this lamp hops on and like crushes the eye. Mate, I feel like because the way we depict lamps, that'd be a whole lot more terrifying.
That'd
be a nightmare. That's actually a weapon of mass destruction, the little Pixar lamp.
Do you guys know the film Terminator? So the film Terminator is obviously about robots like ruling the planet as part of the evil corporation called Skynet. They have these like helicopter drone things that just zoom over humanity and just, you know, wreak havoc. I could just imagine that what you're talking about with Pixar would just have this light on humans and just blow everyone up. It would be awful. Like Toy Story, I don't even know. It would just be awful. It would be a very, very terrible thing.
When Woody's getting fixed, it's just like, bees! They're really intense.
A single tear rolling down Woody's face. What would Guantanamo Bay's kind of, like, how, would they just be using, like, the Pixar lamp just aiming
you'd start with a Zippo. You'd start with a Zippo and get it slowly closer to their ear.
Your phone, like, you start with that and then upgrade.
You gonna talk, huh? You gonna talk? I can't hear you.
And then you just start getting like your 5-volt fucking battery out, and that's when shit goes sideways.
Wait, honestly, all you see in Guantanamo is just a load of prisoners just like sparking matches, trying to get the hearing back. Just like that, listening.
Do you think that we would have come up with an innovation that gets rid of the sound byproduct by this point?
But going back to. A bit back into reality. LEDs themselves are obviously very efficient. They only operate at between 20 and 80 degrees Celsius.
Okay. Just to recap, 2,500 is what a filament is at normally.
An incandescent, yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, Matt, you can continue, but I feel like we would have never created the light bulb. If someone would have done that, they'd be like, hell no, I'm not doing that again. Regardless if they created some sort of light, they'd be like, nah, not a chance, mate. They wouldn't be able to hear anything. They'd have to learn sign language or write it down and be like, don't fucking do that again, mate. That was shit.
So do you remember how, like, in... Who was it? People who were on the Manhattan Project, when they created the atom bomb, a lot of them went into kind of, like, sustainable environments. They completely switched up what they were doing because they were like, what have we actually just created? Edison, or whoever created the first light bulb, he was like, what have
I
just created?
He'd straight up be deaf, mate. If you did that, your head would explode. That's like saying, if rather than it being heat, if the filament is sound, think about it in the opposite direction. If it was, like, exhaustive in heat, like if it exploded in your face, in that context, it would completely deafen you straight away.
So rather than a sustained, steady, it was like just suddenly like a pop. God, another horrible scenario. Do you know when you trip your lights and like you kind of pop the filament, it goes poof, really bright. You're just woken up, right? You're freezing cold because you're cold-blooded. You get up to switch your light on and it just goes poof.
That would be awful.
Like an elongated stun grenade from Call of Duty.
Yeah,
you'd be there dazed and confused, just like, wow, mate, I'm not even warm yet.
not even warm yet, bro. If we were so terrified of light, how would we evolve? I'm kind of thinking maybe a little bit moling. I think we might have gone the underground route and become a bit more moly and try to stay away from as much light as possible and become ground dwellers.
I think snakes without the teeth, I think we'd be that pathetic.
How the fuck did you get there? How did you get to snakes without the teeth? What do you mean?
Like, we'd have a few arms.
Again, a worm.
Because there's no light, all of a sudden we're going to revert to snakes without the teeth.
We would revert to that without a moon. Not going to lie.
Because sound was now generated to heat.
You'd be a bit cold, bro. You'd be a bit cold. I would just say that maybe we would get rid of hearing. That would be our main way of, like, surviving to be anywhere similar to what we are today.
We would have very smooth sides of our head.
Yeah.
We'd be just like a little bullet. Those ears would be long gone.
No, I feel like we'd have ears. I feel like we wouldn't have eyes.
We'd be underground, would probably maybe use our, what, sense of smell? That would be our dominant sense. Danny, you're the zoo boy. What do moles use?
Smell, right?
Do they use their smell? Or do they use...
They use smell, but they also use vibration, so it'd be hearing and smelling.
Mm.
Maybe we would just have very thick ear bones that would be able to deal with the vast shaking that these lights were producing.
Well, yeah, because quite a lot of things have seismic sensitivity, so a lot of the time if they can't see things, they'll sense things through the ground. So it may not necessarily be via the ears, but ears and touch. So how vibrations are sent through the body and then through the ear holes.
Would certain types of light bulbs be illegal, do you reckon? There'd be a black market for incandescent bulbs. You could only buy LEDs. If you're feeling a bit naughty, you could go buy...
I'm just imagining the stereotypical guy with the trench coat saying, like, you want 50 watt or 70?
Yes, yes.
And he's just like, this will pop your enemy's head holes off. And he's just like...
He just opens it up and he's got light bulbs all over.
Honestly, this is the new technology. It is a 1 watt bulb. It will fucking kill anybody in an instant, I promise. But you will need to buy the ear protectors too, because you'll be fucking dead.
I'll do you a good deal. 200 for both. So we wrap up this dark episode.
Very, very dark.
This can be called the Dark Universe, definitely.
The
darkest timeline.
It sounds like a kind of multiverse version of what could have been, and maybe a comic book series that could launch us into DC or Marvel fame.
A cold, cold celestial divorce.
The merchandise. We're already thinking of merchandise. I love.
Let's just recap for everyone there. We're going to be cold-blooded. We're also going to have no moon. And also, rather than light having heat
as the main byproduct, the main wasted energy, we will be having sound as the main wasted energy from sources of light, including electrical and also natural, i.e. fire.
We wouldn't be active in daytime and we'd be active at night time.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely nocturnal. Ooh, definitely nocturnal, yeah.
If anything wasn't nocturnal, they'd be the weird ones.
They'd be the sadomasochists.
Honestly, they wouldn't have ears. Currently, animals develop ways of like using hearing or using sight in the dark. There'd be organisms doing the opposite, really small ears or completely deaf, so they wouldn't have to bother with it.
Owls would be having a terrible time.
They'd be dead.
Their face is one massive radar dish. Like, owls, cancelled.
In the bin.
Turtles, cancelled.
Hey, solar eclipses would be cancelled. They're not a living organism, but that's a thing that's gone.
Oh, but then how would we heat ourselves? Mm. So this is one of the problems I was thinking. So this Homo reptilius, who is cold-blooded, we now don't have sources of heat because the fires have stopped. What are we using to heat ourselves?
So, all right, if we go back to like the core no moon hit us question, when the moon hit us, initially that was 30 million years ago, allegedly, but Gaia was completely like ravaged by volcanoes. I forgot to ask this at first, but would we have a Pangaea like we had known Pangaea today? But then could we still have volcanoes now? It'd be interesting to see if we still had a lot of volcanic activity.
Yeah, no, I think we would, in my opinion.
Yeah,
just because the moon's not there, regardless of us being cold-blooded, that's just not a thing. The only thing that would be different or would affect that is if Matt is extending it, which he did, to if sound was the main byproduct of light in that question, you eradicated heat, so would lava be hot?
No,
it'd just be loud.
It'd be noisy. It'd be loud. That's some loud
that's some loud lava still. So you'd erupt from the floor because you have so much energy, so it probably would do so as well, but it would all of a sudden be quite quiet, then like ooh, and like all of a sudden just erupt in a mass amount of sound. In that case, that'd be so weird that it was this mass amount of sound erupting lava that'd form landscapes. That'd be ridiculous. That'd be absolutely obscene.
I don't think we wouldn't be alive, but if we were, hypothetically.
I don't think many things would be able to survive in terms of how we know them, because
we wouldn't be the dominant species.
Not the majority of species, but quite a lot of species rely on light and circadian rhythms to be able to survive. So if you remove the moon, dead. If things are cold-blooded, not going to be great.
Wait, what about Jupiter though? That'll balance us out,
mate. You're forgetting about Venus.
Oh, sorry Venus.
Absolute
sorry Mercury. Whichever one is which. I completely forget. Yeah, no, we're fucked. We're just fucked either way as a cold-blooded creatures in this reality.
We are. I think so. Deep sea creature would be all right in this world.
I just keep thinking that Tarzan is going to be screaming the jungle, well, whatever is a jungle at this point, but he'll just be, you know, that kind of sound will be screaming down this world. Be pretty awful, I'm not going to lie.
Everything would be doing that. Like, everything would be doing that. You put a fire on it. Oh!
Fuck this chapter. I mean, I love it, but fuck it. It's terrible.
Yeah, no, this is.
I don't want it.
Bad.
I don't want to do
this
it.
This is the worst doomsday scenario we've come up with.
Well, I don't know how I'd have sex in this chapter.
With the coral, don't you?
No, because there's no moon. Come on. If I'm going to talk about it, at least remember what I'm talking about.
Whoops. This is. Yeah, the worst
episode. Nah, I mean, it's been good. This has been the one I wouldn't want to live in. I want to go back to when we were hairless. I want to go back.
I
to
want
the
to go
side.
Back to the zip inside as well.
that homo.
You keep mentioning all these homo shits, man. You try and remember it, bro. It's not good.
Well, I mean, we've created three different humans this episode.
Homo reptilius was the cold-blooded one.
Yeah, Homo Moleus.
It's your one. Where yeah. We got fucking
getting away from all the sound. Yeah, getting into the earth, and then the moon one, the nocturnal bat-like creature. I'm just getting an image of just a very translucent, pale.
Do you know when you get? You have all the standard controls like the 360, fucking N64, any sort of controller, PS2, all the shit. You can see through it, and it's just like the internal structure. Like that, but yeah, a horrible, fucking pale, decrepit. The skin is sucked to it. So it's just like nice and tight. All the fucking moving organs are moving on the surface of the skin. The fucking bones are creaking with the skin. Oh, no.
What do you think that would look like if you suddenly, right? So you suddenly turned on a very powerful light. So the sound, boom, reverberating through the human. What would that look like in slow motion?
In slow motion? That was a pretty big question. In slow motion, there'd probably be a lot of internal structures going on. A lot of bumps and grinds. And oh, to be honest, there'd be also a lot of screaming. Would it not be that fun?
And on that note, I think we should wrap up.
Always wrap up, mate. Wrapping up is the key to survival.
Winners don't wrap. So, it's bye from me, Matt.
Goodbye from me.
And hello from me, baby.
Stop it!
Oh! You better stop. You better hold your horses, baby. Those horses better be holding.